Recording now. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. Welcome to the ALAC Leadership Team mid-monthly meeting on Thursday, the 19th of November at 21:30 UTC. On today's call, we have Alan Greenberg, Holly Raich, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Leon Sanchez, Julie Hammer, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Maureen Hilliard, Ron Sherwood. Apologies noted from Tijani Benjema. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could also just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and apologies, I missed Sandra Hoferichter off the roll call. Thank you, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, Gisela. This is a packed call today, and hopefully, though, on some of the items we'll make up a bit of time, and maybe we'll even have a few minutes gap at the end before some of us go on to our next call. The first substantive item on the agenda is the ALAC policy development, and is Ariel on the call? She is. Can you take us through the items that need our attention, please?
Okay, thank you, Alan. This is Sarah Leon for the record. I'm just going to repaste the agenda page in the chat because all the statements that in progress are pasted over there. And we have three that are in progress, and the first one is plan the implementation of the new registration data access protocol, RDAP. And we have an internal commenting period, and we'll close tomorrow. So I encourage all of you to take a look at the first draft, which was drafted by Holly Raich and Carlton Samuels, and provide your input. And then the next one in progress is a statement on the removal of searchable WHOIS service form .meet registry agreement. And Harold Arcos, the new ALAC representative from Lacroix, is taking the lead to draft a statement under the guidance from Holly. And that the commenting period will close December the 4th, so I will follow up with him tomorrow and check
okay,
the status of that.
I'd like to talk about that one a little bit. Holly, this is under your guidance. Did you know that?
Yes, I do.
What direction are you going in? Because I read the RCEP last night, and
yep.
I noticed that Lutz had made a long comment, which was, I'm afraid, completely irrelevant.
Yes.
What kind of statement are you looking to make on this?
Oh, you mean, the statement I would be, you mean on the access protocol?
Removal of searchable WHOIS for the .meet registry.
Yeah, I know. I'm tempted to make very little statement at all. If you read the background, as I did, there are precedents for this where, in fact, it's been gone into the searchable WHOIS is not against the RAA. The data is still available on the WHOIS. So I'm not sure that we should be saying anything, frankly.
Well, I am. I'm sure we shouldn't be saying anything.
Okay, all right.
let's do a level set for everyone. There was a perception that what they were removing is a web-based WHOIS capability. That is not the case. The searchable WHOIS is an optional feature. Some registries committed to it, some didn't. In this case, .meet was originally an Afilias TLD application. Afilias had chosen to include searchable WHOIS. They have sold it, transferred it, whatevered, to Google, and Google registries, they had chosen not to have a searchable WHOIS, and therefore they're trying to align this one with the rest of their TLDs. Now, a searchable WHOIS is not a WHOIS query. A searchable WHOIS allows you to essentially search the WHOIS database for matches or partial matches on a whole host of fields. So you could search on the email address. Essentially, you can do searches that there are for pay services for,
yep.
But the registry is offering it. So you could search on the letter N, and any domain that has the letter N in the name would pop up. Or you could obviously do more complex searches. As far as I can tell right now, the only domain registered under .meet is nick.meet. So there's a limited number of successful searches you could do. Moreover, the searchable whois is specifically designed to be restricted to people who are authorized, targeted at law enforcement or other such agencies. I can see no reason why we should be objecting to someone removing a completely optional service.
I absolutely agree.
And one that is not generally available, and one presumes law enforcement does actually subscribe to various other services which would allow them to do the same kind of search.
Alan, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I started off with the same kind of, oh my gosh, they're going to remove whois, and then when I read the stuff, I thought, no, this is optional. This isn't in violation of anything that's committed under the RAA. This is just them saying, well, we're not going to do something that isn't required anyway.
Well, it's committed under the registry agreement because Afilias committed to it. But I can't get my knickers in a knot over this. Is there anyone else who feels strongly about this?
No.
Then who's going to talk to Harold?
Will somebody give me an action item, and I will just send a sweet little note to Harold saying, I really don't see the problem, and basically if you read the background, there are also precedents for this happening before, so this is just yet another removal of
searchable domains. The other removal was a closed domain, so that one was even less onerous, but I really can't get upset over this,
and I
couldn't make a good case for it either. So you have that assignment. You have that assignment.
Aria, will you just send put an action item for me? I'll deal with that one.
Okay, Ariel, back to you.
Thank you, Alan. This is Ariel again. So the third statement that is in progress is the one on guidelines for developing reference label generation rule set LGRs for the second level. I was informed in the AP Railo call today that Edmund Chen is drafting a statement on this, and the public comment is closing December the 15th.
Okay, and keep an eye on it for dates. Other than that, that's fine.
Okay, will do. And then the next one seems to be solved is the one on IAG initial report and proposed revisions to the ICANN procedure for whois conflict with privacy laws. Holly and Carlton drafted a statement, and it's already been posted on the wiki. And Alan, we're waiting for your direction in terms of internal schedule. But unfortunately, the public comment closed on 17th of November. So what do we do now?
I go to Holly to ask, is there something of such substance that we want to get them to accept a late comment on this? Or do we accept the fact we missed it and it's tough?
Part of me says accept the fact that we missed it because, in fact, there are two dissenting statements, both of which contain the things that I would have said anyway. So we have it isn't that there is not a viewpoint. If we simply want to say, yes, we agree with the whole flawed premise of this particular thing, then we should do something. But what we would have said has already been said and incorporated into the report as an appendix.
All right, so the position we're supporting is already in the report.
Well, it's in the report as a dissenting appendix.
Yeah, I understand. Okay,
yeah.
We had a very long comment there.
Yep.
And were there any comments on? There was something from Christopher Wilkinson.
Yeah, and basically Christopher, we're agreeing with Christopher, really.
And there was a very long comment from Lutz.
That was completely irrelevant. My comment to Lutz was, I thought, very tactful and trying to show to him what we really are talking about. Is the fact that this working group started off with a job that is just starting from the wrong place. You know, I mean, thank you, Lutz, for contributing, but it made no sense. And I tried to be tactful pointing that out.
So we have dissenting opinions within our wiki. We have not really gotten any input from the rest of the ALAC or at large, and the comment period has closed. With the agreement of the ALT, and I'm asking for people to voice an opinion, I would suggest that we miss this one. We're busy with other things. There's no clear position that I could simply say I'm submitting it on behalf of the ALAC because I know they're going to ratify it.
Yeah.
So my feeling is it's unfortunate we missed it. We may have been able to alter how things go forward, but I don't think we can submit something after the fact on this one. I guess I look for input from the others on the leadership team. Holly obviously agrees.
Look, I agree with you. I'm a little bit sad because I would like to have had Christopher and some of the other people, Stephanie particularly, she wrote the other dissenting opinion in the appendix.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like them to be aware that ALAC actually supports Christopher. I just don't want Christopher to be seen out there on his own as if he's some lunatic. He's actually saying something incredibly sensible. And the only reason that I would say I would like a late statement is just to say to Christopher and Stephanie and everybody else who has looked at that and gone, this is starting from the wrong place.
Holly, if assuming the email address is still open, would you consider submitting a personal statement saying due to other...
Okay.
You know, due to the fact that the ALAC has been focused on the IANA transition and other issues, we missed the deadline on this. You believe that significant parts of the ALAC, although there is some dissenting views, you believe significant parts of the ALAC would have agreed with the dissenting statements, and just go on record as saying that. Recognizing that Lutz and maybe others would not agree with you.
I take that, and I'll check the transcript for the wording you just gave, but I think I would be happy doing this.
Okay.
Make you feel good.
Thank you, Holly.
Okay.
Back to you, Ariel.
Thank you, Alan and Ariel, again. The next one is a little bit, we need a little bit urgent attention on this, the new public comment that requests decision. The one is about the preliminary issue report on a GNSO policy development process to review all rights protection mechanisms in all GTLDs. And the public comment will close on the 30th of November, and I reached out to Holly and Leon regarding their opinion whether the ALAC should issue a statement. So I guess I will turn the floor to Leon and Holly to talk about that.
Thank you, Ariel. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm not in the AC room. I'm only on the phone. And
okay.
I do think that I can set up moderately short statement on this, because I do believe that there is at least one issue that we should be looking at. I apologize for not replying to Ariel's and Holly's email. But I do think that, for example, the trademark clearinghouse is an issue that we might as well be looking into from the user's perspective, because so far I believe that the fact that there is only one provider of these services, which is, of course, Deloitte, is a possible barrier of entrance for the users to actually apply for the trademark clearinghouse. So my comment on this would be in the sense that while we support having a centralized and a single database hosted by IBM, that the providers should be open for more players in the field so that competition can bring down the prices of actually protecting the registrant's rights in the trademark clearinghouse. So if you agree with this or have any comments, I would be happy to, of course, hold the pen to make an initial draft, and I would be doing so in the course of today, so we can, of course, finalize this in time for submitting it to whomever it needs to be submitted. Thank you.
Okay. The original design was that there would be multiple front ends, but there was one for the initial implementation just to keep things simple. Was the issue of multiple front ends raised in the preliminary issue report?
I'm sorry, I haven't gone through the full report, so I of course don't have an answer to your question, but I will review the report today, as I said, and based on that, I would be happy to draft some kind of statement.
Okay, thank you. It was certainly in the original design. The other question is there anything in the preliminary issue report on chilling effects from the trademark notices? Because that, again, was one of the user concerns that people would, getting a legal notice would be dissuaded from registering a name even if there was no real conflict. So if there is no mention of that in the things to be reviewed, then I would certainly comment on that as well. Other than that, I would tend to agree with you. I don't see any other issue. My understanding, however, was that Holly had said that we don't need a comment. I may be misquoting you, but that's what I remember Ariel or
that
someone
was my,
telling
That was
me.
My initial view, but I would
okay.
agree with I'd like to, I'm going to look forward to seeing what Leon says
okay.
and review it.
Okay, then we have a way forward. Leon, the comment closes in 13 days, so we need to get something moderately quickly so we could put it out for ALAC at large comment for a few days and then have a quick vote or a vote on it.
Actually, 11 days.
11. Oh, dear. You're right. Okay. Leon knows how to work fast. Back to you, Ariel.
Thank you, Alan. Ariel again. So we have three other public comments that require decisions. The first one is UGTLD program implementation review draft report. I sent an email to the ALAC work list, and Maureen volunteered to be one of the commenters, but not the main pen holder. So we're still waiting and see who wants to, who thinks we need a statement, and if so, who wants to volunteer to be a pen holder. So that's the first one. And the second one is proposed implementation of GNSO policy development process recommendations on inter-registrar transfer policy, Part
B. Oh, my God.
and
yeah,
Holly,
I want to comment on that.
Well, it's the implementation of the approved policy. Unless
exactly.
we have some reason to believe the implementation has been done exceedingly badly, I don't see any reason to comment.
Do you know the only thing that, in the end, having sat through lots of working groups, there were two issues from a user perspective, neither of which we can do much about. The one from the user perspective was what kind of remedies do particularly small and cash-strapped providers have. The idea was at least you can go to ICANN compliance and say people haven't complied with the rules. That should be somewhere, and the point was made, is there somewhere on the website that people can actually understand that? And the answer was no. The other was a more general, this process is so bloody complicated, how does anybody find out? So ultimately the comment that I would have made is, God help anybody who tries to figure out what ITRP ABCD mean, unless there is some explanation on the website. That's part of the implementation, although not strictly so. I don't know if it's worth making a comment about that or not.
Well, my inclination is to say we're past what the PDP recommended. We're past the board approving it. We're simply saying, did they implement it properly?
Yep, I know.
And unless we have some blatant place where if where the implementation has gone awry, then I don't see a need to comment.
Do you know, it's almost as if I might personally just say something to the GNSI or former working group saying, you know, this is all, everything's been done perfectly, all of the implementations happened, except somewhere on the website we were going to make it far more clear to people who are actually asking a question what the hell it means, because right now when in one working group I said, all right, everybody look on the website and tell me where you can find a good diagram, and nobody could. So from a user perspective, it's still an issue, but it's not, you're absolutely right.
It's
in
a bit
no
late.
Way is this, yeah, well, anytime you put something up is better than nothing, and I just would hate to have it lost that we've got a whole process there that is supposed to protect users, and there is absolutely nowhere
okay.
on that website that you can find something.
Holly,
this is
Holly, let me ask you a question. Could they have done what you wanted them to do and be true to the recommendations?
Well,
because the implementation group is not allowed to make up its own rules.
No, I know, and there was a recommendation there. I think it's got lost.
So if you want to check your homework and really find something that was recommended as a formal recommendation that wasn't implemented, then go for it. That's marvelous.
Okay.
But it's got to really be there. Otherwise, we're simply coming in and saying something again where it perhaps got ignored earlier, but it's a bit late.
I'll have a look again because I want to know if what... Thank you.
All right. Back to you, Ariel, and now we're back on the which one? Okay. The new GTLD implementation review draft report. If I remember correctly, this is a staff report on how they think the new GTLD process went.
Yeah.
Have there been any comments on it? Or is there anybody else who's speaking up?
Oh. What's going on, Ellen?
The only one is someone that we're not going to worry about so far.
Maureen has her hand raised.
Maureen, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Ellen. This is Maureen for the record. I put my name down to help anybody who was wanting to do something on that. And, I mean, I've had a quick squiz at the report anyway, and I don't mind making a statement, but I just sort of like have asked if Cheryl can just be a backup so I've got someone to pass it over to have a squiz at it.
Yeah, I'm just...
I can do so, Maureen, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't too many people around today who were very active in the new GTLD process when it was being worked on. There's, you know, me, Cheryl, Carlton to a lesser extent. I guess once you come to the point where you can explain in a paragraph what it is we want to say, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Okay, that's good. Okay, I'll work on it.
Okay. Ariel, back to you again.
Thank you, Alan. Ariel again, and it's the last one. It's the new public comment on GTLD Marketplace Health Index proposal, call for comments and volunteers, and that just opened yesterday, I think.
Does anyone know what that is?
No.
Is the health of the GTLD Marketplace or the GTL Marketplace for health TLDs? The health of the GTLD Marketplace.
Alan, this is Heidi. It's for to index or analyze the global GTLD marketplace.
Do we care?
Yeah, I think we actually do.
Okay.
Someone should read the report. I'm going to try. How big is it? Is it an ungodly report or is it a reasonable length thing? Let us see. It's taking a long time to download. That's not a good sign. Actually, it's only 7 pages long. I'm going to assign it to myself. Do we have another volunteer to read it? Olivia, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivia Kakanabno speaking. I believe that this is all part of the reviews which are required under the affirmation of commitments. So looking at a healthy GTLD, expansion of GTLDs, and it's looking at the geographical diversity, it's looking at whether there's competition and trust that has been promoted.
Oh,
it's pretty
nice.
Much
okay.
Cut and pasted from the AOC. Competition, trust, stability, and all of that stuff. And
so,
I think it's quite important because it's a little bit a sort of parallel process to the working group on competition and trust and metrics for these competition and trusts.
It sounds like they're trying to create an index which will be used by the review team plus on an ongoing basis. That sounds like a good thing if they're actually having good input into it.
Yeah, it's quite likely. So I think it would need to have our support. And it's got in there some interesting things, such as, for example, of the key proposed KPI, total number of unique phishing reports, number of data security breach reports made to ICANN, number of registry-level compliance issues per TLD detected per calendar month. This is the sort of stuff that we've been asking for, and I think supporting this would be of great help because it's quite likely that some will not support this.
Okay. Olivia, do you want to draft something and I'll work with you on it? And Cheryl, do you have any interest in this?
Yeah. Well, this is consumer trust metrics, isn't it?
It is consumer trust and metrics. It's Olivia speaking. I can drop a few lines. I must say I haven't read this thing in detail, but I think having had some experience of the CCT as well, it looks at the data source, ICANN Competition Computer Trust and Consumer Trust and Consumer Trust Metrics Project as one of its inputs, but it has a number of other things. So I can certainly read through it and come up with a first draft.
If Olivia, you can take the lead, I'll be glad to work on it with you, and I'm sure we'll find other people.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, thank you. And I think that we are now finished the 5-10 minutes we were supposed to be spending on that. We're on item number 4 now, next steps on CCWG accountability. And we just spent an hour and a half on the IANA issues call. I suspect at least some of us were on that call. Let me try to summarize where we are right now on accountability. What was going to be a executive summary, which got changed to an update and is now called a preview of the proposal, was issued last Monday or so. It is essentially an overview of where we believe we're going and with a number of things still to be completed. Largely, where we are going, according to that report, I believe is pretty well in line with current ALAC positions. To be filled in are a number of things where we have some red lines, and we're going to have to watch carefully. But I think we do want to get a number of people who have not read this report to read it and see if there are any things flagged in it which are problematic. As I see it, the areas that are problematic as we go forward are the mission statement and making sure that any of the things we identified in the last proposal as being important have been addressed. The community, how the powers, community powers exercise, that is the number for, the number against, and how we count who is participating, I think is going to be critical to the ALAC because I think we are particularly worried about powers being exercised by a small subset of the ACs and SOs. Are there any other red line areas? There had been a proposal saying from John Nevitt saying that if a bylaw change affecting an AC or an SO is proposed, then the SO has to support it. I made the statement to that is, if you say that, you must also say the same thing about ACs. However, the concern was morphed into a much more relevant one, that is, if a bylaw is required to implement the results of a PDP, which has been approved by the board, then that SO must be able to veto it, essentially. And I don't think we can say me too on that one. So I think that proposal is reasonable as it stands. Are there anyone from other people who are paying attention on this, and I guess Leon and Cheryl, are there any other red lines you see that would stop the ALAC from ratifying if we were to go forward as we envision now? I see Maureen's hand up, but I think that's an old one.
Alan,
this is
Cheryl.
Leon, Alan?
Yeah, Cheryl, go first, then Leon.
I just want to know, is the background noise from my driving too loud, or?
No, you're fine.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Cheryl, do you have any thoughts on the question, or were you just checking the background?
No, I just didn't want to disturb you all, that's all.
Okay, you're not disturbing us. Leon, go ahead if you have anything.
I just want to say that I don't see any of the red lines other than those that you have already highlighted, Alan.
Yeah, I will note that a message from the board came through today. For the first time, they are commenting on mission things. And although this statement was largely supportive of what is being proposed, the implication in the tone of the message says they will be following it up with others, and the implication is they're likely to be saying that certain changes in the mission are not something that we should be doing in Workstream 1. If they indeed say anything like that in a strong way, it's going to be, I think, received by the many in the working group in an exceedingly negative way, and I don't know how that's going to be handled. But they're clearly putting up their hand and saying these are not things that we're willing to approve at this point. And as the group that must ultimately approve the bylaw changes, that's a significant statement. So I don't know, that's just making a prediction on my part, not necessarily an issue today, but it could well become an issue over the next couple of days. Any other thoughts on the accountability and where we're going on that? The timeline is exceedingly aggressive. At this point, if the GAC says they do not need a face-to-face meeting, and they are the only one at this point who are most likely to, the GNSO could also, but I somehow think not, then it looks like the ALAC may be required to, or be asked to, rather, ratify the proposal. Hopefully in the end of December, but I think more realistically in the first 10 days or so of January. I have made it clear, the decision of the ALAC, that if anyone is meeting intersessionally, we believe it's important that we meet also, both for our own internal discussions and to have inter-community discussions. Again, the timeline is aggressive, but I tend to side with the people who say this timeline is justified, and therefore we really need to try to meet it, although it's clear we may slip. Any other comments on accountability? Hearing no voices, seeing no hands, we'll go on to the next item. The next item is update from the IGF, and I've got three potential speakers. I only have a short bit to say. Olivier, you're the most experienced of the IGF people amongst us, so why don't you go first? We have 15 minutes allocated for this. We don't have to use it. But.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. So the IGF went pretty well this year. The major topics for discussion were pretty varied. The one which has really raised a lot of eyebrows was one about zero-rated networks. And zero-rated networks are those that are offering connectivity at no cost to the end user, but it's not quite internet connectivity. It's a sponsored connectivity. Facebook is one of these organizations that is providing this. So they're providing Facebook access to people with a restricted number of internet services to customers in India. And they call them customers. They don't call them users. Customers in India who have nothing to pay. So everything is paid for by the local internet service provider, but you do not get a full internet feed. It used to be called internet.org. It's now called First Base. Feedback was so negative on calling it internet that there was some pushback and some change of strategy. But Facebook is not alone in that. There are quite a few other organizations that are offering these types of services. And so the discussion was really about whether this breaks network neutrality rules, whether it doesn't, and whether this is something that is desirable for equipping the next billion people who are not on the internet today and connecting them. Is it better for them to have some connectivity with very restricted services or to not have any? And needless to say, the discussion went on and there was no overall consensus on the matter, with very extreme views being held for and against this. In the ICANN world, the process for the cross-community working group on IMF stewardship transition and ICANN accountability was showcased by the cross-community working group on internet governance. We invited a number of speakers from the other operational communities, including those of the IETF and the regional internet registries, as well as members of the community that were to comment. Alan Greenberg was one of the people that was involved and invited to speak and share his experiences both on the working groups but also experiences and how to spread the word with the at-large community. This workshop focused specifically on the process, showcasing the multi-stakeholder model, and in fact the multi-stakeholder models that were used, and this is the S at the end of models, that were used in the different operational communities to reach consensus and to come up with a proposal. The workshop was extremely well attended, with the room being nearly full. It was quite a sizable room. There were other workshops that dealt with the actual contents of the proposal. The next day, one that was organized by Milton Mueller and his colleagues treated the actual topic of the proposal itself and raised some points regarding ICANN accountability, etc. Unfortunately, I missed that session and I'm yet to listen to the recording, but I would recommend that you go on the IGF website and listen to these discussions, because it provides a good idea of what the rest of the world outside the ICANN world thinks about how ICANN performs and what should be done in ICANN. Sometimes perhaps based on not quite the relevant data that they should know about, but it's interesting because these are the kind of responses that we are likely to receive when the plan finally gets sent to the NTIA. But more so when the plan gets sent over to the U.S. Congress, reminding you all that the U.S. Congress will have to agree on the plan, and they are likely to get somehow canvassed by their constituents. And I'm not saying constituencies, I'm saying constituents. The citizens are likely to write and to weigh in one way or other. Apart from this, other topics, ICT for development has continued being a very high on the agenda. There was also a session on the Net Mundial initiative, providing some details of the projects that were funded. just to remind you all, the Net Mundial initiative is a follow-up to the Net Mundial summit that took place in Brazil last year. And one of the first things that follow-ups was to have some kind of a, they call it a clearinghouse, but it's not even a clearinghouse. It's some kind of a way to organize having projects, worthwhile projects coming on one side, requiring funding, and finding on the other side some potential funders for these projects. The first couple of projects that were funded, one of them was created by our very own, ICANN's very own Bertrand de la Chapelle, who is leading a project that is looking at internet jurisdiction. And that's something that started out with domain names but has now expanded to the jurisdiction of the internet in general. So that there's a first laureate for this. There are other there were other discussions that took place around the Net Mondial initiative, and so far it seems that people have not really moved much from their positions, and everyone is still on the expectative on this. Apart from this, just raking my mind for any other discussions that were around the usual around the usual discussions of privacy versus cybersecurity has been very, very heated as per usual. A lot of discussions on this, and still not very much movement so far on that. And finally, the other discussions that were around were all about human rights. And certainly a follow-up on the fact that ICANN seems to be now moving forward with the concept of human rights being included somehow in its bylaws was quite well received. But obviously there is a lot more that needs to be done in the wider Internet world, the rights in principle, the rights to Internet access and so on is still very much alive in IGF circles. The overall composition of people in the IGF, quite a few governments this year. It's been good to see them. There was also a strong component of businesses that came with the International Chamber of Commerce leading the group. And companies like Facebook made their first really strong appearance there, in my knowledge. Facebook, Google, these guys were all present. And we're very active in many of the panels. Vint Cerf, of course, was jumping from panel to panel, but there were also a few other superstars that were around, including some discussions that were taking place regarding intellectual property issues. And I'm not quite sure that any intellectual property issues relating to domain names were dealt with, but certainly the piracy and intellectual property is still a very hot topic. That's it. I know there are a couple of pages that link up to all of the workshops that were organized by people related to ICANN. I think I'd like to thank ITLAB staff for having put these together, and I would refer you to these. There should be, in time, a report on each one of these workshops that should be published on the IGF pages. I hope I haven't been too long. Back to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. Couple of comments. The zero-rated one was interesting. It was interesting from several points, not only the issue of net neutrality. There were debates on whether it should be called zero-rated. So it was not only the concept that was the problem, but the name. Zero-rated is a term that comes from traditional telephony that says it is a service we provide at no charge onto your basic telephone service. And there are people who are saying this is not a telephone service, therefore we shouldn't be using the term that is extracted from it. There was one number I heard quoted in a meeting, and I cannot even remember who said it, although it may well have been a Facebook person, that in the first 30 days of usage, half of the people converted to real paid services. That is, they were sold so quickly that they found the money to convert. I'd like to see that number in writing somewhere to really understand exactly what it means. If indeed that is true, then it's a marvelous statistic, and it says the floodgates have opened, and this is the way to get people connected. That is, give them a taste, and they'll want to pay for it. But I'm just a little bit cynical on it. The one of the interesting discussions I took part in was one on trying to define the public interest. And although it was a general discussion, it ended up being focused very largely on ICANN. And it's got to be one of the few discussions I've ever, or meetings I've ever participated in, where my ideas on the subject really changed based on the interventions and based on the discussions. So I thought it was a quite an interesting one, and we may actually, out of it, have some methodology. The overall conclusion is you cannot really define the public interest because it varies for every case that may come up.
Yep.
But probably, I've always said that we need examples, and I'm less convinced that examples will help at this point, again, because things, each case will be different. But the process in by which you analyze the examples does have some interest, and that is by going over the process a few times, a number of times, you may start to get a feel for how you do it. And that's probably something worth doing before the crisis comes. So I'm optimistic that we may have a way to go forward, although clearly it's not going to come up with a hard definition, nor would we want it to. I see Sandra's hand is up. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful, because my computer is doing strange things today. Yes, I was also at the IGF and would also echo what Olivier said. It was quite a friendly meeting. We had others in the past which were much more subject to discussions, arguing, and fights. So this was one of the logistically very well organized and friendly meetings. Regarding the public interest, as we started the discussion with Indurano, I also found some interesting comments which made me thought about this. Public interest is people said that we can agree on public interest as a concept, but maybe not trying to define the public interest. The explanation behind was that public interest varies over the times and it will change. I mean, there was another public interest 100 years ago. People considered things as being in the public interest, which would be totally out of scope as we see things today, considering human rights or equality of men and women and so on and so forth. So this was also very enlightening to me. But this was just a side note. I was participating at the IGF with wearing my hat as Eurobic Secretary General, the European IGF. So I followed those tracks of national and regional IGFs, and we also had a booth there, which was between ITOC and ICANN very prominently placed, so we were very happy about this. And the discussions there were mainly about, or at the sessions where I participated, were mainly about how to better connect national, regional, sub-regional, and the global IGF. For instance, the topics, should they come from the bottom up, so say from the national to the regional to the global, or should the global IGF define an overall topic as they did this year with connecting and excluding, and then the nationals should work on this. At least for Europe, we agreed that it makes no sense to discuss in, for instance, Finland to how connect and excluding, because this is not an issue on a national level. And from the European perspective, we will try to bring some more input on how we can develop the global agenda, or how we can contribute to the global agenda, and how we can develop an agenda within Europe which is more interlinked and interconnected to each other. And then just the last side note, I found out, or I heard from other ICANN usual suspects, that ICANN scheduled so many meetings during the IGF that actually this was, for some people, if they would have followed all the scheduled meetings, it would have been a small ICANN meeting and not an IGF anymore. So maybe ICANN should reconsider this approach, because people are actually there to contribute to the IGF and not doing an in-between small ICANN meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra. Anyone else? Leon, do you have any comments on the IGF? I think you're the only other person on this call who is there. Leon, are you still with us? I am guessing not. All right, if Leon has something to say on it, we can go back to it afterwards. The next item is item 6, review of the Dublin action items. And are there any Dublin action items we need to review? Heidi, Gisela, Ariel, I'm not sure.
Hi. Yes, there are. So I think if we can just go through the ALAC ones, that would be useful. But the chairs of the other working groups that, just as a reminder, you might as well take a look at your action items as we go through them. Could someone please place, well, the link is on the agenda. So we have, during the ALAC strategies and working session, Alan Greenberg, to follow up on the issue of establishing the procedure to endorse the candidates for competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice review team. And there are various criteria.
And that's on our agenda later.
Okay, perfect. Another one, I am to coordinate with ICANN meetings team to provide transportation for local outreach events for one day, beginning with Marrakesh. That has actually been completed. They've actually reserved it. Next one is the ALAC and Regional Leadership Working Session Part 1. Gisela Gruber to invite the GSC team regional VPs to join the outreach subcommittee calls. I believe that has been done. We'll just complete these as we go through them. I am to ensure that the 5-year operating plan takes into account the needs of the ALAC, and I'm following up on that. Okay, I'm moving down to ALAC Part 1. That one's completed. It was actually, Alan, this one was where I was to coordinate with Xavier to provide additional details to Garth Bruin on finance questions. I did that, and Xavier reminded me that there was a response during the week of the ICANN meeting and that Garth has not yet responded. What I can do on that one is just write a note to Garth if he has any comments on that, if you'd like.
Copy me, please.
Okay. Okay. ALAC Part 2, the at-large website revamp task force to hold calls to review the mock-up of Get Involved, ALAC, and remaining pages. And I saw today that Ariel put a doodle out for that call, so I guess that one's in progress. Next ones are for Ariel. Ariel to organize brainstorm sessions with RALO chairs, secretariats to discuss content management and workflow of new RALO pages, which that's going to actually happen during the next secretariat's meeting that is being planned, so that one is in progress. And then Ariel and Laura Bengford just solicit feedback across the at-large community for the beta website during the beta testing period, which will continue through the end of 2015. And Ariel, I believe you're doing that. You wanted to comment quickly on that?
This is Ariel, yes. Send emails and went to calls and will continue to do so.
Okay, thank you. And during the wrap-up session, I was to prepare a list of all at-large working groups, which ones are open and which need members. It is in progress. I'll get to it very shortly. The last two meetings, the ALT meetings, I am to work with Melissa King, who's the VP for board operations, to set up a call between the ALT and ALAC and board members, which will be an open call. Did you want that one to be, it's not an ALAC meeting, right? It's just a regular, it's a one-off meeting, Ellen? Okay. So, when would you like that to happen? January, or would you like that in December?
I think December is going to be crazy as it is. If we can defer anything, we should.
I'm going to say actually end of January, if possible. And then I will follow up with Melissa to follow up with Steve Crocker on the issue of RDAP. And then I wanted to stress the ALAC development session ones. We will be sending again, just as a reminder to all of the ALAC members that were there, the action items that came out of that development session. There were several. The ALAC will identify the people in a small drafting group to develop the mission statement of the ALAC. That's right. That's something we probably need to move on. Anyone interested to be part of that group, to contact Alan Greenberg and the group to review the parts in ICANN bylaws pertaining to the ALAC and come up with a clear mission statement. Then, as is on today's agenda, later on, the mid-monthly ALT meeting needs to set the agenda for the ALAC meeting for the corresponding month, which actually the ALAC meeting is next week. So any feedback on that would be useful. Then Alan Greenberg should take the lead so the ALAC has a training session on how to deal with differences in opinions and conflicts of interest. And then two that are to relate to Ariel, but I think we need your confirmation on this. Ariel to set up a Skype chat group for the ALAC members, including the 15 ALAC members, current GNSO, CCNSO, and ESAC liaisons, and the former ALAC chair. Should she do that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, Ariel. There you go. And then finally, Ariel.
Former ALAC chair is going back to Cheryl.
Correct.
just for clarity.
Thank you for that. And then Ariel to set up a test group for Slack, an alternative instant messaging tool. Now, that one, if you may remember that there was a little bit of pushback, but we just wanted to see if you wanted to have a small group going ahead with that.
People can try anything.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that completes the action item.
All right, thank you very much. I guess I'd like to have a very short free-for-all at this point, but please continue by email. At this point, do we have any wisdom? We are starting to plan the next meeting. Do we have any wisdom as to what worked well, what didn't work well? But for those who are not on the meeting planning session today, a couple of things came out of it. By my count, we had close to 21 hours of ALAC and regional leaders meetings in Dublin. Now, that was partly because of the extra day we added. It was partly because we had a significant amount of time for the CCWG discussions, which we thought was going to be coming to a decision in Dublin. At this point, it looks like we will have something under 7 hours in Marrakesh. Now, of that, give me a moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Of that, we had about 12 hours of meetings with other groups or people. So over half of the 20 hours was used in meetings with other entities. We are looking at a total, including meeting with anybody, possibly excluding meeting with other CCNSO type groups or the GAC. We will have about 6 hours. So we're going to have to radically change how we're scheduling time. There is no way we're going to meet with anywhere near the number of people that we've said we have productive meetings with. I don't know how we're going to go forward on this, but that's where we are today. The ALT meeting currently is scheduled at 1 hour. The ALT closing meeting is at 1 hour, and no chance of getting any of the guests we normally have. There will be no ALT intro meeting, looks like, or something very brief in the breakfast before the first day. So our work methods are going to have to change radically because of this new work schedule as it stands now. I guess I'm looking for input. Also, and what didn't work well in in Dublin that we need to fix, what did work well that we want to replicate to the extent that our schedule allows us to replicate it. Yeah, Heidi points out there are 5 to 7 hours of working group meetings. We may choose to curtail those radically and have ALAC meetings there instead. There's still work to be done. It may get better. If we say, you know, we could say there are no RALO meetings, or all RALO meetings have to be held at the same time, and you know, somehow staff will have to cover them. That will buy us more time, but at an expense that we have to decide is worthwhile. Okay, open the floor. I see we have a whole bunch of hands. Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Caipan, Adlon speaking. And I was going to touch on the logistics for accommodation, because it looks like we are going to have a very busy meeting again, especially since this is going to introduce some big differences in our work practices and our usual, what we call it, train-train in French, you know, the usual chugging along type meeting thing that we're used to. So what I understand from early discussions with Aziz is that there are some hotels that will be based in the Palmeret itself, the location of the conference center, and there are some that are located in town. The advantage of the ones in town is that in the evenings you can go and mingle and enjoy other places and visit Marrakesh. The inconvenience is that you're far away from the location. The advantage of the hotel in the resort is that you are on site, so when you start at 7 a.m., you can get out of bed at 6:45 and be there at 7 a.m. But
Olivia, how far is the trip to town?
The trip to town might be all about like half an hour or more. It's unknown as of yet, and I'm not quite sure what the actual logistics are going to be with regards to coaches. If it's the same as the coaches logistics that we had in Dublin, where the coach took nearly an hour to go from the hotel that some of us were in, which was basically in another time zone than where the conference center was, then, you know, I ended up taking the bus, the tram. I know that Sandra was using cycles daily. I know others had to take the cab sometimes. And for 7 a.m. meetings, it was very, very difficult. Now, 7 a.m. in Dublin, fine, there's transport. 7 a.m. in Marrakesh, I'm not sure. This is a holiday town. I don't even know if anybody is awake at that time.
Olivia, your point is taken. Heidi, can you put an action item for you and I to work on some statement on that in the next week?
Well, we need to just decide. Do we want to be in town or do we want to be in the conference center? I would prefer the conference center for work reasons, but I'm not sure where everyone else will be. But I would say conference center is better for work reasons.
My opinion would be the ALAC can be in the conference center. If some person wants to say they want to be in town, it would be delightful if we can give them that prerogative. So if that can be accommodated, fine, but the default should be they can work.
Ellen, what about before we're asked to make a choice? Oh, sorry, it's Holly Roche for the transcript records. I would like to know what the arrangements are for getting people from town to the conference center. I absolutely agree with Olivier. It was really difficult, and we all made our own way, which was not the way planned. Now, if we're going to have some kind of system that will get us from town to the center in a reasonable space of time, that would be fine. But I'm going to tell you, I got to the conference center by walking for half an hour. I'm not sure I'm necessarily going to want to walk for half an hour to in Marrakesh.
Okay, let me try to address that. I've only been at 28 or 29 ICANN meetings, so I don't have full perspective. I cannot remember any time when we were given that information ahead of time where it was anything we would be willing to put a bet on. So I would say don't hold your breath.
Okay.
If anyone has different experience, I'm willing to listen to it. Gisela has her hand up, and then I'd like to go back to the queue. We are going to run out of time soon, and we do have some of us have another meeting butted up against this one. So please, everyone, be brief. Gisela.
Thank you, Alan. Gisela here. I hope you can hear me. Just a quick one on this. We are meeting with the meetings team in 10 days in Los Angeles during the policy workshop, and all these points will be so we will already be able to have much better insight on the hotels that will be used. And my understanding is that funded travelers will be at the Palmore, and others who book their own hotels obviously can book them in Marrakesh and in the center of town, and we don't have any control of. But I think that we will all be at La Palmore. Again, in 10 days' time, we have a meetings team. We're going to cover shuttles and hotels and get as much information on restaurants, on logistics. I have a long list of questions. So hopefully we can get back to you second week of December. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. I will ask you to pass on a message for me then. As chair, I have a somewhat hectic schedule. If I am ever assigned a hotel where I have to spend an hour and a half to 2 hours traveling each day to and from my hotel, I'm not going to get on the plane. You can quote me verbatim.
Alan Giesler here. It will be passed on.
Thank you. Leon.
Thank you, Alan. Well, I have two comments. One, in regard to the structure, of course, as I put on the chat, I think that we will need to redesign our schedule based on the new structures of the APC meetings. So, you all have put on the table options like avoid having maybe Raylo meetings or, we'll sort that out. I will of course, work with Gisela on that.
Leon, let me interrupt. You haven't been attending the
new
meeting strategy meetings. It's already been done for you. You don't have any work to do.
Okay, that's perfect. So I work my magic even here.
That was said with my tongue in cheek. There's going to be a lot of work to do.
Okay, good. So and the other one is more like usual whining. I kindly ask staff or whoever arranges AM meetings for us, 7 a.m. meetings or 8 a.m. meetings that require breakfast, to please have us have some decent breakfast. I mean, I can surely work on sleep deprivacy conditions, but I can really not work on an empty stomach. So I would really appreciate if we could get things arranged so that whenever we are actually having breakfast at our meetings, we do have decent breakfast, and by decent I mean something hot, something that is protein rich, and not only pastries, because pastries,
not only sugar.
exactly, not only sugar. So those are my two comments. And sorry for whining, but I cannot stress enough how important that is for, I think, most of us.
That's okay. There are going to be no meetings before 9 o'clock, and we'll finish every day by 5:30, I'm told.
Right.
There's no cynicism here at all. Maureen.
Thank you, Alan. Maureen for the record. I guess what sort of like bothered me, and I know I did have some discussion in the chat with Heidi about it, and it was that was the 75 minutes that has been allocated to each meeting time, and 90 minutes for lunch and 30 minutes for coffee breaks and things like that. I guess, you know, all this is, you know, when we're in a situation where we're actually going to be really, really pressed for time, you know, like I can't sort of see why these these sessions are sort of like extended. The 15 minutes to allow for people to pack up and leave and go to another venue. Will the ALAC not have its own meeting room as we normally do? So in fact, we won't be moving around all that much anyway. And also, according to Aziz, we that we would be staying, as Gisela mentioned, we would be staying very close to the venue, so that it's just a time thing. And I mean, the 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Considering the times that we've actually sort of like already on hour-long meeting schedule, we've actually still had to create 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock meetings. I think that I know we're going to be asked to sort of like okay the schedule that's actually been proposed for the Marrakesh meeting. It's those sorts of things that are going to be taking up time, and I think that we're probably going to be having lunch meetings and meetings during lunchtime and meetings after and before. I mean, I can't see anything else happening but that happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. You just put a comment in which you may want to say out loud.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier Crépin-Blanc speaking. And so today on the GNSO Council call, there was a presentation by Aziz about the security arrangements at La Palmeraie. Understandably, with the recent events, there were some concerns about security, and Aziz provided full details of the arrangements that will be there on the ground with dozens and dozens of security guards that are there on the ground, and he also provided details that the hotel has sent him in a presentation as to the recent big events that have been organized at the on the grounds themselves, some events being with 5,000 people, big multinational enterprises, also some diplomatic meetings that have taken place at La Palmeraie within the last 6 months. So all of this to say that the security situation seems to be well in hand and a well-oiled mechanism as such. Unfortunately, I had to drop from the call at the time since I had meetings that were running over. It might be worth asking Aziz to provide a copy of that presentation or to perhaps brief the ALAC during the next ALAC call next week so as to reassure our community about the arrangements and actually not even reassure them, just let them know what the arrangements are.
Yeah, thank you, Olivier. I'll note for those who weren't at the IGF that they had pretty good security there, but you could also wait in line for the security scanners for a good 45 minutes or more in the morning to get into the building. Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl Linton, for the record. And, the IGF level of security is probably what we will be expecting, if not higher. I had the dubious honour of attending the Hyderabad IGF shortly after terrorism on the subcontinent of India. So I've done the higher level stuff, and it takes time. But that said, that's another specific advantage of being within the enclave. You are likely to have higher levels of security to enter the enclave than you are once you are within the enclave. And I don't know, Maureen, I personally find it very comforting to have breakfast with AK-47s out at night. But then I've had a little bit more experience with that sort of thing. So if it discomforted you, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, anyway, that's an aside, because we really did have ground-to-air covering and men with AK-47s at our windows. We may not have that in Marrakesh, but again, we may, and it doesn't matter. As long as they're not pointing them at us. The thing is, being in the enclave will be of particular use, and I would strongly endorse what I'm thinking you're all saying, and that is what the current plan is a good one for you to all be within the enclave. And security is much easier managed in an enclave, so that's great. What I wanted my hand up for, however, was when you were talking about extending or expanding your meeting requirements to go well beyond the timing that is currently being proposed. If at all possible, and I know you're going to have to make some hard choices, I think this time round in particular, you should try and fit what is absolutely essential to do into the proposed timings, 9 to 5 or whatever it is, admitting obviously you'll probably squeeze in lunchtime ones as well, because it is the test of this new system. And if you do workarounds, you won't be doing justice to testing the system. If at the end of the Marrakesh meeting you need to say, 2/3 of the worthy work we usually do was not able to be done, and that made a difference because, then that's important. So I really would encourage you to try and squeeze what you can in the space allocated. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Since we're being told we are not allowed to meet before the meeting or after the meeting, and I haven't yet heard being told we're not allowed to meet for breakfast, we may or may not have that option, even if we wanted to. Anything else before we go on? We have another 12 minutes and a significant number of items to cover, so I would really hope we can go on. I see no hands. I'm not giving anyone a chance to raise one. Olivier, the item number 7 is ALT and ALAC meeting times. You will recall when we started the previous last fiscal year, the last ALAC year, that we did a bunch of doodles to try to rearrange the meetings. We were unsuccessful. We had an 8-hour gap between time zones because we had no one who was attending the meetings in China at that point. That's not the case this year. We will have to do rotations, and Giesel and I will be working on sending out a doodle soon for the for meetings after this coming one. So I'm going to be talking to people individually and trying to find out who it is that is likely to be most flexible, and we're going to try to set some good examples. But that is coming. The next item, item number 8, was the white paper Olivier is working on General Assemblies and Summits. Olivier, we don't really have time to talk about it. Can you give us a 1 or 2 sentence summary of, do you have a document? Did it die, or is there a document that's getting close to something that we can look at and comment on?
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. So aside from the original table which I had put together, I've not had any chance to work on the document since, being otherwise engaged with plenty of other things, but I will work on this. I can't say that it will be ready for the next ALAC meeting, but hopefully the December one, I'm hoping that we can get through. As long as we have this well before the Marrakesh meeting, and certainly in time to circulate it to other SOs and ACs and the board and everyone else by New Year, I think we're okay.
Yeah, remember, we're trying to influence the overall budget, not the special requests, and we want Fatty's support, and he's going to be less and less visible over the next several months.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. It's come out of my mind.
I understand. Consider this a reminder.
Thank you.
Number 9, volunteers for Competition Consumer Trust. I've put out a call for members. Sebastian has suggested that we make this an annual a group that will stand for a year. I believe to do that, we're going to have to set some ground rules and get approval of the ALAC. We do not have the time for that right now. So my recommendation at this point is we put together this group, we do this evaluation, and then we try to formalize what the group will be doing as we go forward in the year. Is there any strong objection to that? I'd like to be able to say the ALT supports that plan going forward. Thank you very much. Next item is the FBSC, well, we now have a full membership convened with the new ALAC and the new RALA leadership. We will be convening a meeting soon. One of our first tasks will be to start the process of budget requests and to do something we did never got around to doing last year, name crop representatives, so that we can have a new renewed crop group, crop review team. Comments, questions? All right. Last item of any of substance is the ALAC agenda. If you have any items you'd like to put on it, the ALAC agenda is going to be set within the next 24 hours. Please get to me and or Heidi quickly if you have any specific items. One item that there will be on the agenda is the letter, the follow-on to Naralo's meeting with Alan Grogan and the draft letter that Garth submitted to the ALAC. I sent you last night and attached to this agenda Garth's original letter and a red line and clean version of my revisions. I would really like to send it to Garth again within the next 24 hours. If anyone has any reason to believe that my revision is not acceptable or the rationale I gave in the email for omitting issues is problematic, then either speak up now. We have a few minutes for anyone who's actually read it, or please read them tonight or whatever the rest of your day is and get back to me really quickly. Again, this is something that should have been done a few weeks ago, and I, like everyone else, ran out of time. Any other comments? Again, please, items for the ALAC meeting. We're supposed to be setting it a full week ahead of time. We didn't make it. It's Thursday today, and the meeting's on Tuesday, but I really need to set it before the end of tomorrow. So any comments, and particularly on the issue to Garth, that the deadline of that is I want to send it to him tomorrow. So if you have any comments on that, please. Holly, go ahead.
Very briefly, what about if we've got time, just a few minutes, for any feedback to Ariel on the website? That's if there aren't other agendas crowding that out. Thanks.
So you want to allow some time at the ALAC meeting for feedback on the website. Is that what you're saying?
I'm suggesting that, but that depends on what other items are there.
No, I understand. I just want to make sure I clearly understand what you're saying.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay,
yes.
Ariel, did you have something to say?
Just a reminder, we have a webinar coming up dedicated for the website. So
okay,
if we
then
have
forget
a...
it. Yep.
No, but I'd love as much input as possible, but... if we have a packed agenda, we can use the webinar time just for input.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Thank you.
All right. And Heidi pointed out to me that we skipped the item on the review of Dublin on the development session. If anyone has any input on that you do not, will be on the ALAC agenda. But if you want any input to provide it, that you don't feel free in airing in a open environment, then you have all of our email addresses. Anything else? Sorry about the rush. We do have a meeting following immediately after this on the at-large review, and I don't think we can be too late for that one.
No.
I thank you all for your meeting. I give you back another 3 minutes of your day.
Alan?
Yes.
Alan.
Go ahead. Olivia has her hand up.
Yes.
And Heidi. Heidi first, then Olivier.
Okay, very quickly, thank you, Alan. Just a reminder for everyone that next week, Thursday and Friday, is U.S. Thanksgiving, so the three U.S.-based staff will not be working those days, but the other three will. I'll be off most of next week, but I will be on the ALAC call. And then all of the policy staff will be in L.A., for the policy workshop the week of the 30th of November. And during that entire week, emails will be very slow to be returned. But there are a couple of meetings that are planned, like the AFRALA one, and we will cover those. Thank you.
Heidi, I will make a comment that having the policy meeting immediately after Thanksgiving takes a significant amount of the staff out of circulation for almost two solid weeks. That's not the best of planning from my perspective.
Yeah, noted.
Olivier?
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Clapin-Leblanc speaking. And just a bit of news about the GNSO Council, whom you know failed to be able to have a chair selected during the face-to-face Dublin meeting. Following intense negotiations and discussions, it looks like there is an agreement. And so with the vote due to start, James Bedell is very likely to be the next GNSO Council chair. Donna Austin will be the person from the vice chair from the contracted party's house. Heather Forrest will be the vice chair from the non-contracted party's house. Mason Cole will remain GAC liaison, and the discussion is starting on having an ESSAC liaison or a reverse ESSAC liaison. They're not quite sure which way, but they do believe that there is an interest in this. A lot of other things happen in the GNSO call today. I'll spare you any report, and we'll speak to you about them during the ELAC call, or you will be able to read my GNSO report. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you all.
That's a good outcome.
See you online.
That's a really good outcome from GNSO, though. So.
Thank you all.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining today's call.